today.
Man. One day, you're going to like standing.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I stood up all night.
But one day you will. Okay, picking things up in verse 9 of Mark chapter 1. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word and receive from it and look to you to receive from you, we pray that you would speak to us, Lord. We are so thankful for the time we've spent worshiping you, lifting your name on high, bowing our hearts before you, and allowing you access to every inch and every part of who we are. Now we pray as we study your word, Lord, that this would continue, that you would speak to us in ways that only you can, and that we would receive it in a way that only your Holy Spirit can allow us to. So fill us with your Spirit. Speak through me, I pray. I pray that it would be clear and understandable, and that we would grow deeper in you together. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. So what I'd like to do is start things off with a pop quiz. Just kidding. But no. I'm going to ask you guys about a few different words that are important for us to know as Christians growing up in this world. And you can tell me what you think it believes, what you think it is. Some of you will know it really well. Some of you will know some of them well. Others of you won't know some of them well. Some of you won't know like half of them. But that's okay. That's the whole point. First, what is monotheism?
What is it?
Okay, Grace, what is monotheism? Yeah, the belief that there is one God. That is monotheism. Mono means one. Theism means God, belief in God. Polytheism, what is that?
I know. It's called
polytheism. Chad. Yes, the belief in or worship in more than one God. Good, 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 good. Now, what is pantheism? Ooh, I know. Okay, Grace, go. No, that would be atheism. Pantheism.
Pantheism?
Pantheism. Hmm? Where you believe in pansies? No. Pantheism is the belief, essentially, that God is everything. So it's not that God made everything, it's that God is the universe, that when the universe moves and nature acts, that is God. Now, the reason this is important to know is because we as Christians, we are monotheists. We believe in one God. But we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we're monotheists, which sounds like a contradiction. And this is where we get the doctrine of the Trinity. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. The Trinity, which is a concept that is impossible to completely comprehend. I was going to say one of the hardest things to comprehend, but it's not even possible to comprehend. But we're going to do our best to understand all that we can about it with a short study this evening and discuss it in our small groups and learn as much as we can. But the Trinity, what's interesting about it is the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. It shouldn't be in your Bible. If you have the word Trinity in your Bible, it's a very interesting translation. But it should not be in the Bible. The word Trinity is not there. And basically, there's not even a straightforward explanation of the Trinity in the Bible. Rather, the word Trinity is a word that theologians over the years have developed to explain this interesting attribute of God that is displayed all throughout Scripture. And so they developed this word, Trinity, to describe some of the ways that God is revealed, all the way from Genesis 1 to Revelation, the end of the Bible. So I'm going to hit you to start things off. I'm not going to just hit you. I'm going to hit you with a straightforward definition of the Trinity. And this should be really confusing. If I did my preparation correctly, this should confuse all of us. And then basically we're going to spend the rest of our time unpacking this incredibly complicated definition. Are you guys ready? This is not my definition, it's from Don Stewart. So just so you know, I'm not like stealing. So the definition of the Trinity. Are you ready? Okay. Within the nature of God are three co-equal and co-eternal parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are each distinct from one another, but they are each one God. Everything that is true about God is true about them. Yeah, that's where you should be right now. You should be confused by that. But I encourage you, if you're taking notes, you don't need to write that whole thing down, but try to jot like some key points about it. If you have like a picture phone, take a picture of it, because this is what the Trinity is, and we're going to spend the rest of our time unpacking this definition. It's hard to comprehend. It's very hard to comprehend, but by the end of this teaching, you should be able to look back at this definition and comprehend it a little bit better. Cool beans? Yeah, you can comprehend it better. It's simple. We'll do it. So we're going to look at 3 points. What is it? The Trinity.
Who is it?
I already answered it. Just kidding. What is it? Who is it? And how is it? So if you're taking notes, jot those puppies down. What is it? Who is it? And how is it? What's the Trinity? Who makes up the Trinity? And how is the Trinity? Like, how? Like, oh, it's, I love talking about the Trinity so much, so I might get like so excited. Get ready to get deep. Are you ready to get deep?
No.
Get ready for it, because we're going deep. Okay, so first things first, what is it? What is the Trinity? So the Bible teaches us that there is only one God. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22 says, "Therefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you." Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He is one. But all throughout Scripture, there are these different ways that God shows himself. Sometimes he is a reigning father. Other times he's shown as a flesh and bone human male named Jesus Christ. And in between all of that, he's shown as this incredibly intimate spirit. Now, since we know that there's only one God, it means that there's two possible explanations for what's going on here. First, it can mean that at different times in history, God was one of those. So he was a creating father, and then he became a flesh and bone son named Jesus. And then after that, there was a very close, intimate spirit called the Holy Spirit. But this explanation is ruled out a few times in Scripture, but a really key time where it is ruled out is right in the passage that we started with, Mark chapter 1, verse 10, where Jesus is baptized. Check this out. "Coming up from the water, he," that's Jesus, "saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my son,'" aka, "I'm the Father in whom I am well pleased." So in this moment, we see these three persons coexist simultaneously. Happening, occurring, one is audible, one is visual, and the other one is literally tangible, right there. And they're occurring at the same time. We even see proof in Genesis 1 verse 26, God is either schizophrenic or there's someone that he's able to converse within himself where he says, "Let us make man in our own image." And there's not even a human being, a cognitive thing on the earth at that point. So, the correct explanation for how there are these three different ways God shows himself in Scripture has to be this, and this would be the correct explanation, that the one God is composed of three persons, and they're all very distinct. They all have very different roles, but they are all one God. And get this, each of them are fully God. What? What? And this is key. We are not polytheists. The Bible does not teach polytheism, multiple gods. So they are not three separate gods. And they are not different personalities of one God. God is not, he doesn't have dissociative identity disorder where sometimes you're getting Jesus and other times you're getting this and that. And it's like no control of who's going to come out. No. And these aren't different representations of the one God. They are each fully God, coexisting or subsisting within one God. This is the correct time to use the term existence for God, because within God, within the nature of God, coexists three persons or three centers of, I don't know how to word that. Three like seats of
of holiness.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, so yeah. Three persons. That's the best way to think of it.
Three
persons. Yes. Each distinct. No, don't say people. Because they're not personalities and they're not people. And no, because they're not just things. They're functioning persons within one God. Okay, but that's what it is. Are we tracking so far? How are we doing? Good? You should be. You should, like, kind of have it. But still, like, it's still, like, right there. Like, I got it, but I can't. That's how it's going to be the whole night. But we'll get a little closer each time. Yeah? Okay, cool. Second point. Who is it? Who is it? What? Oh, I put it in the wrong order. What did the first one say?
What is it?
Ah. I just copy and pasted, by the way. Oh, no. Okay. That's supposed to say who is it, so wipe that out in your mind. Who is it? So the Trinity is composed of three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're each very distinct, and we're going to look at each of them quickly, but we're going to look at each of them and get a grasp of who they are and what they are within the Trinity. So this is going to be quick. Are you ready? Okay, get ready. So first, the Father. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6 says, so we know that he is God, says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. So one God, the Father. And the Father within the Trinity should be seen as the sender or the organizer of the Trinity. He is the main creator. He's the main planner. He's the main judge of each person's eternal fate. He's the one who assigned Jesus to be our sacrifice even before the first human was created. He sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, my Father will send a helper to you. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. So this is the Father, the sender, the organizer of the Trinity. Fully God, the Father. Second, let's look at the Son. Titus 2, verse 13, so we know that the Son is God, says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is within the Trinity. He is the mediator between man and the Father. He pleads our case before the Father, much like a lawyer making a case before a judge. He allows us to appear as righteous by his blood. We are able to appear as righteous before the Father. He even prays for us to God, prays about us to God. He intercedes on our behalf. So Jesus is the mediator between man and the Father, making a way for man to the Father. The Spirit This is the third aspect of the Trinity, the Spirit. John 14, verse 26, so we know that the Spirit is God, says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is our Helper. Uppercase H. That's an uppercase H in the word helper, because he is God, fully God. Have any of you played the game, well, older game, because older is always better. The game Zelda?
Yes!
Yeah. You know how Zelda has that little fairy that floats around him, and sometimes it's all, hey, listen. I can't do it. But you know what I'm talking about if you played Zelda? Does it have a name? I'm not that into it, so. Lacey. Lance. Langoustine. I don't know. Lobster. So the Holy Spirit is much. Oh. You know? What's the name?
Nappy.
Nappy? Nappy. Oh, that's right. That sounds familiar. You got it. So. The Holy Spirit, much like the fairy in Zelda, except it's not actually visible, he guides us through every day and every situation. He convicts us. He also helps us pray to the Father. Like when we don't know the words and we're like, there's this thing inside that I need to express, but I can't. The Holy Spirit can, like, the Holy Spirit has our back there. And he can do it. He can take those feelings that aren't expressible and express them to God. The Holy Spirit supplies the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, look, there he is. He also gives us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh, see where you're going?
So, here's the whole thing. Look at me, because I'm going to do a visual up here. It's going to be like an interpretive dance. So, the Father is the sender, organizer, put everything in motion. From the beginning to the end, he knows that Jesus is going to have to do this and the Holy Spirit is going to have to be here to do that. He is this. Jesus makes a way right here for us to the Father. And God, I think it's 2 Peter or 1 Peter, I'm not sure, tells us, 1 Peter for sure, I do know. 1 Peter, God, or we're told that God looked at Jesus and said, you will have to be a sacrifice for these people to make a way for them to me, to give them access to me. So Jesus, the mediator, making the way, interceding on our behalf, praying for us, like there with us, washing us white as snow so that the Father sees us as righteous. And then here we are, and the Holy Spirit is with us here, guiding us, helping us every single step of the way. And as a side note, here's something very interesting. The Son and the Spirit are, technically speaking, subordinate to the Father. So what that means is that the Father leads and directs the Son and the Spirit, and they obey. But even though there is a leader and a follower in this situation, they are each equal. Equal in their roles, equal in importance. Very similar to the biblical roles of gender, of male and female. Very, very similar. As men are called to lead and women are called to follow in the home and in the church, so God the Father leads and the Son and the Spirit follow and submit, but they are equal in importance, equal in value, equal in their distinct roles. But there's that order within the Trinity. Really interesting, and it will help you later on wrestling with those roles of gender in the Bible and grasping them. Really good to know. Last but not least, how is it? Oh my goodness. Was there? I think there was a string deleted. Oh, there it is. Great. Golden. How is it? So, here's the thing. The Trinity is unlike, in so many different ways, anything in this world. So we cannot fully explain it. We just can't. And we cannot fully understand it. There are some really cute, is the word I'm going to use, cute illustrations that people have come up with over the years to explain the Trinity, but they always, always fall short. But here's what we can do. We can look at some of these cute illustrations and see what's good about them, and then see what's bad about them, like why they fall short. And doing that will help us further understand the Trinity. So are you ready? Okay. St. Patrick, what's he famous for? Yeah, three-leaf clover, though. So St. Patrick said that the Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. It has three leaves, but it's all one clover. And that's what's good about it. All of these three leaves are one clover. But here's what's bad about it. All three persons in the Trinity, they're not identical. And they don't do the same things. Leaves all do the same things. Like, there's no leaf that's like, oh, don't worry about this, guys. I got it. I can do photosynthesis. You focus on just making the protein. No, no one's doing that. No, they can't. They can't do it. So they aren't, in the Trinity, they are not identical. And they don't all do the same things. There's another one that's popular, the egg. Have some of you heard that one? So the Trinity is like an egg because you have shell, white, and yolk, and they all make one egg. Yeah, tracking with that one, yeah. So each part, here's the good about it. Each part of the egg, they're all distinct, and they all play their very own role. That's what's good about it. The Trinity is like that as well. But here's what's bad. Each part of the egg is not fully egg. When you have a shell, you don't have breakfast. When you have a white, that's just boring. And when you have just a yolk, ugh, that's nasty. That's gross. But on their own, they are not fully egg. Together, they make an egg, but shell is not egg. White is not egg. Yolk is not. They are parts of egg, but they are not fully egg.
They do not make egg.
Here's another one. Your full name. Most of you in this room have three names, right? Some of you have like six. I know. Someone's like, my name is Darius the Fourth, twice removed from King the Fourth, Fifth. No. But most of us have three names. So first, middle, and last. And here's what's good about this one. Each of those names are you. If someone calls me Henderson, I'll be like, okay, weird. But I'll respond, yeah, I'm Henderson. But when they call me Henderson, they don't get a different person. And when they call me by my middle name, I'm not going to say it. They don't get a different person, just as when they say Isaac, they don't get a different person. Where it's the same person, just different names. But they make up the same person, but there's the same person. Another one. Fire is composed of three things. What? Fuel. Yeah, oxygen, fuel, and heat. It needs some heat. And here's why this is good. Because they all work together to make something very powerful. Fire is intense. We've seen that this last year. Fire can be so intense, and it's really just three things. But on their own, here's what's bad about them, they really don't accomplish much. Except, is it like O1 is deadly, like just oxygen? Because O2 is fine, but O1 is, I don't know. Science. I don't know. But in most cases, on their own, they really don't accomplish much. Here's my favorite. I think this one comes the closest, but it still falls short. The universe is composed of space, time, and matter. And together they form the uni, that means one, verse. They form the universe, but they're all very different. Here's what's good about them. They make one thing, but they're all super distinct in their roles. Time is so different than space, and space is so different than matter, but they come together to make the universe. But here's what's bad about them. Last I checked, they aren't in a personal relationship with one another. And within the Trinity, there is a very intimate, personal relationship that God, the Father, or whoever it would have been, looked at maybe the Son and said, let's make man in our own image. Even though I know you're going to have to go and sacrifice for them. That Jesus, being on planet Earth, longed to be with the Father, longed to meet with him, praying to him, loving the Father personally. There's this very intimate interaction that occurs within the Trinity that cannot happen with any singular thing on planet Earth, but it happens within the Trinity. And that is the Trinity. How we doing? How do we do? Good?
Confuzzled.
That's okay, because we're going to have small groups now. So what we're going to do is break up into small groups and talk about this. You should be right at that point where you've like almost got it, but it's like there's something right there. And that's how it's always going to be. So you won't get past that. But you can get closer. Talking in your small groups, working things out, you can get closer. And talk about your week. Talk about how things are going. Bailey and Claudine's group are meeting with Terry's group. So, because, mama's in Mexico. So, let's pray, and then we're going to break up into small groups and talk about this. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are beyond our comprehension, that your ways are not our ways. Your understanding is far beyond how minuscule our understanding is. But we pray that you would grow our faith as we talk about this in small groups. Show us what's important about the Trinity, why it's necessary for us to believe it. Help us to sharpen one another as we encourage one another and question one another. And let us just be real with one another. We pray that you would eliminate any confusion or any uncertainties, that those would be confronted and addressed, but that we would be able to rest in the mystery of the Trinity and to be okay with it. We give you the rest of this night, Lord, and we pray that you would have your way in everything we say and everything we do. And go before us the rest of this week, we pray. All of this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Break up into small.